Okay, we're in the Gemara on the towards the bottom of Daf Mem Dalam Aleph. Approximately 15 lines from the bottom. Amar is the last word in the line. Terrible. Okay. Amarish Lakish. Now, if we remember the last few Gemaras we read up till now, we kept on bringing this line of Rav Asi, Amar Yochanan, Mishum Rav Nechunya, Be'ish Bakas, Be'ish Chorasan, the Esther Natios, and the Arav, Yisuch HaMayim, Lach Mosh Mishina. We're going to see that line again come up a few more times here. And that is one of the parts of the flow as to why these Gemaras kind of follow each other, because that line keeps on popping up about the three things Lach Mosh Mishina. Amarish Lakish. Kohanim Bali Mumin, Nechnasim Bein Ha'ulam L'Mizbech, let's say it's Barava. Kohanim, who were Bali Mumin, who were people who had blemishes, and normally they were not involved in the Avod at all, but they would go between the Ulam and the Mizbech, a place, according to Rashi, usually off limits to really everybody, and especially the Bali Mumin, to the Ulam and the Mizbech, in order, let's say it's Barava, in order to fulfill their obligation to be involved also with the mitzvah of the Arava. I'm going to Rabbi Yochanan, Miyamra. Rabbi Yochanan says, who says such a thing? Now, what the Gemara right now assumes, says Rashi, who says something means who says there's an obligation for everyone to get to do a mitzvah with the Arava? Who says there's a mitzvah with the Arava like this? The Gemara says, "Mi Amar." What do you mean? Who said? Ha'iu Amar, you. He himself, Rabbi Yochanan himself, said it. Why is he asking who said such a thing, implying who said there's a mitzvah with the Arava? Rabbi Yochanan himself was the one who said it. Damar ba'asi Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Nechunya Ish Bikas Beis Chorasan. Again, our line we keep on quoting. Esther Natios, the 10 plantings that would happen in the Beisa, which the rules were based on the Halachah of Sinai, that you could continue to work the field up until Rosh Hashanah time, which was a Chiddush. Usually you had to stop a little earlier, but for this Esther Natios, we permitted you to work up until Rosh Hashanah time. Arava, here's our important line for our sugya. The Arava also was included as a Halachah of Moshe Sinai, and Yitzchak HaMayim as well were all Halachah of Moshe Sinai. So what do you mean, who said it? Who said it? Who said it? You said yourself that it's a chiyav midoraisa, alach Moshe Sinai. Ela mi amra binitila. What he meant was, who said that the way to do the arava was to actually take it, walk around with it, shake it? Maybe it was only to put it by the side of the mizbech. Mi amra bali mumin. Who said that bali mumin should get involved in it? Dilma between only people who are kohanim, who are tamimim, who are not involved at all. So Reish Lakish made a statement. Rabbi Yochanan was challenging not the din of arava. Not that there is a din of a Rava, but that it was as Rabbi Yesh Lakish prescribed, that it should involve people walking around in their hands, that it should involve Bali Mumin. Perhaps it would only be placing by the Mizbech, and that was reserved to the Tamimim. Again, it was in an area that was a very sensitive area, that usually was not encroached, usually was not walked within during the rest of the year. So Rabbi Yochanan was challenging Yesh Lakish, who says that it was a communal thing that Kohanim would all do and carry it around and walk it around. Maybe it was simply put by the Mizbech. And who said even that it was open to any Kohen? Maybe it was exclusive for those Kohanim who were in the right state of mind. That's Rabbi Yochanan's challenge to Reish Lakish, not the fact that it was a din. Obviously, he told us a din because he yelled Talchim Moshe Sinai, and therefore clearly it was a din. So this whole thing was really brought down again because it brought in that same concept, which we'll see right now in another minute from now, about the Halacha Moshe Sinai of the Arava. Itmar Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Chad Amar Arava Yisod Nevi'im. Amar Arava Minhag Nevi'im. Now, what this means was it was instituted by the Nevi'im. They both agree with that. The question was, how strong an institution was this? Was it a Yisod Nevi'im, a Takana of the Nevi'im? And therefore, it was demanded that the Nevi'im demanded, Chagas Karim Malachi demanded that you would engage in the practice of the Arava? Was it a Minhag Nevi'im, which was highly recommended and suggested? What's Nafkamina? Even Minhagim we do. The Nafkamina was, you make a bracha or not? Can we say Vitzivanu? Was it a tzivoy? Was it a yisod, a takana, a tzivoy? You could say the bracha, Asher Kishanam B'Tzav B'Tzivanu. Or was it merely a minhag, which was practiced as well, but it was no bracha would go along with the mitzvah of a rava. So the Gemara says, Tzistayim, let us, again, whenever you see the word chadamar, usually it means we don't know who said which. So the Gemara will oftentimes try to prove to us which opinion authored which opinion, which person authored which opinion. Tzistayim, Rabbi Yochanan, who d'amar yisod nevi'im. Let's suggest this prove. Rabbi Yochanan was the one who thought it was a Yisod Nevi'im, and Rabbi Shuben Levi was the one who thought it was a, and by process of elimination, Shuben Levi would hold it was a Minhag Nevi'im. What's the proof? It's a pretty black and white proof. Yisod, you make a bracha. Correct. Right, Minhag Nan, Yisod, yes. Dam Rabbi Yival, Rabbi Yochanan, Arava Yisod Nevi'im Hu. Tistayim, good proof. Meaning, it couldn't be more clear than that. Someone actually quoted him as saying, it was the Yisod Nevi'im. Now, you may wonder, in the first place, what in the world was the question? That meaning, we had Chad Amar, it seems to be pretty obvious. I assume what it was, when it was first taught over, the person who heard it over the first time wasn't sure. And he repeated it in a way he wasn't sure of. But someone else had learned it pretty explicitly. So when it was quoted as a Chad Amar, we said, okay, I can solve that question. And we quote over here someone who said, I heard Rabbi Yochanan say explicitly, it was the Yisod Nevi'im, and that really solves that problem. But the problem it doesn't solve is, does Rabbi Yochanan hold that it was the Yisod Nevi'im? Rabbi Yochanan held that Arava was the Yisod Nevi'im? One second, says the Gemara. Amar le Rabbi Zeira le Rabbi Yavahu. Mi Rabbi Yochanan hachi? Rabbi Yochanan would say this? As the Yisod Nevi'im? V'am Rabbi Yochanan mishumri nechunya ish bikas beis chorsan. Eser netzios. Yisod Nevi'im implies that Nevi'im made such a takana. But if it was brought down from Moshe and Sinai, there was no place. What do you mean Nevi'im made a takana like that? It was around from well before Nevi'im ever existed. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk, Eshtomim B'kisha Achad, which means. No, the Rabbi Yochanan held it was a Doraisa. It wasn't Nevi'im, it was well before Nevi'im ever came along. Where was he coming along singing Nevi'im? Anything with Nevi'im? It was well before the Nevi'im. The Gemara says Eshtomeim Kisha Achad. It means he was silent for a good moment, for one moment or for an hour. But he basically had to think this thing through, and finally, V'amar, and he said in the end, Shichachum V'Chazrav Yizdum, which means that it was true. It was a Dindaraisa. But as Rashi explains, as the exile in Babel happened, things got sticky and difficult for Bnei Babel, and things were forgotten. They were forgotten, and then the Nevi'im came along, and it was Yisod Nevi'im. It was. The Nevi'im came along and were miyasei, they found it again, and they reminded us, and they put it as a foundation, a fundamental part of our practice. So it wasn't that it was created the first time by the Nevi'im, but it was reestablished by the Nevi'im. Again, and the very important line here is that, the way Rashi explains it, is that, look at Rashi, Shachachum, it's a little bit, you know, up, it's not where we are, we're a little further up. Shachum begalus bavil, Shachachu es ha-Torah b'mitzvos, b'miktsas. During the Gauls of Babel, the people of Babel forgot a number of things, and among them was this din of Arava. That was the thought right now. So the thought right now was that during the exile of Babel, the Babylonians from Babel, the Jews who went to Babel, were at a loss for a lot of the Torah, and that was the assumption right now we're making, and therefore when they reestablished it, that's what the Yisod Nevi'im was, but it was really originally Halacha Moshe Mishina. Miyam Rabbi Yochanan Hachir, Rabbi Yochanan felt this. He felt that it was forgotten in Babel, implying that in Babel there was a loss of the Mesorah of some sort. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Dilchon Amri Dilhonhi. So Rashi explains there's a story going on in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan taught in Eretz Yisrael. And there was a story of a Talmud of Rav, who was Rav Kahana, who ran away from Babel to Eretz Yisrael because he killed somebody appropriately, but he ran away to free himself from whatever was going on in the town that he killed a person in. He ran to Eretz Yisrael. And while he was there, Rabbi Yochanan noticed that he was extremely sharp. Rashi gives the whole story that he was really sharp and he was holding in all the sugyas better than Bnei Eretz Yisrael were. And he made a comment, Dilchon Amri, they say it's by you, meaning Bnei Eretz Yisrael, but Dilhonu, it's really by them. Dilhoni, it's really by them, it's really by Bnei Babel. They're holding in Torah better than we are in Eretz Yisrael. Showing that he found it was hard to believe that it was forgotten in Babel, because he saw Rav Kahana from Babel, who came to Eretz Yisrael, and he was teaching Eretz Yisrael with all these Bnei Eretz Yisrael, and he noticed Rav Kahana and Babel had a greater, sharper understanding than people in Eretz Yisrael had. So he said, Dilchon Amri, they say it's yours, meaning in Bnei Eretz Yisrael, you own the rights to the Mesorah, that you are holding it better, but I see it's not true. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan really felt that in Babel, they weren't lacking in Torah, they were holding the Torah very well. And therefore, how could they say it was forgotten in Gaul's Babel? The Babylonians seem to be strong Baalim Mesorah over here. So we're back to our question once again. What does it mean? Zalach Moshe Mishinai, what does it mean that it was a Yisod Nevi'im? So the Gemara says over here, okay, new answer. Lo Kasha is not a question. It was not that it was forgotten and reminded later on. Kan b'mikdash, kan b'gvulin. B'mikdash, Zalach Moshe Mishinai. B'gvulin. It was a din dirabanan to do the arav. What does the arav mean? The gvulin means outside of the mikdash. Outside of the mikdash. Right, so here, gvulin means it was Yisod Nevi'im. Well, okay, back in the day, we assume right now we're established. What does it mean they did with the arav? What do the arav anyways? What do they do with the arav in the end? What do they do with it? They didn't only do that, right? They walked around with it even. So that minhag was even done outside Eretz Yisrael, as long as there was still Mizbeach. The moment it was destroyed, do we do it anymore, Zeich Lamikdash anymore or not? We don't. Why not? We do it for Lulav. Why not for Arava? What's that? No?
No Skifa? Oh, because...
So, it's not limited to Mizbeach only.
It won't be too torn.
What's that?
It won't be too torn.
So we should do it in both places. Why don't we do Zeich Lamikdash in a Rava? I could do for Lulav outside Mikdash. Why don't we do it nowadays outside the Mikdash for the Arava? There was never a period of time outside of the Mikdash that it was a Daraisa. And therefore, we're never going to extend the outside the Mikdash area to include the Zeich Mikdash. The moment it was destroyed in the Mikdash, it was not practiced outside the Mikdash anymore because there was no Zeich Mikdash because it never existed. It was the Yesod Nevi'im, we're saying now. You would make a bit Sivano back in those days. But once it was destroyed, the Mikdash, we didn't have a Zeich Mikdash anymore outside. And apparently, once we didn't do it outside, we didn't do even the Yesod Nevi'im anymore outside. We stopped altogether the practice. And we stopped together the practice altogether, then we also stopped doing it in Eretz Yisrael as well. And that, by the way, became the same din we had when it came to the first day of Lulav. We stopped doing Lulav outside the Mikdash, when it fell on Shabbos. And we also don't do it anymore, even if we had Kvir D'Yarcha, we stopped. We want to keep the not be Shtei Torahs, exactly. So that was the din, that when the time of the Mikdash, there was Halachos Sinai, that we did be Mikdash for 7 days. Now, the Nevi'im made a Yisoda Takana later on, that we should continue that practice, even begvulin, but it was as a yisod neviim. But I guess later on, when the mitzvah was destroyed, we lost our original doraisa way of doing arava, and therefore we didn't do it. We completely dropped it also begvulin, and we didn't make zeich lamikdash. Why not? Because there was never a biblical tradition in any day anywhere outside the mikdash. So we don't make a Zeich HaMikdash outside the Mikdash either. It was a Yisod Nevi'im. Shubra was all Durabanan. Yisod Nevi'im was only Durabanan. It was a Din Durabanan, but it was a Durabanan. And Durabanan only had the strength as long as the Raisa was still in play. Once that went away, this also went away. And we don't do a Zeich HaMikdash because there was never a Duraisa level attached to the Gvulin. Okay. Amar Rabbi Ami, Arava Tricha Shur. We're now going to say three rules about the Arava, not our Arava that we have in the lulav, the arava of the din arava, the arava of the 7 days or 6 days of the arava, the Hoshana Rabba aravas that we do today. Arava tzricha shir, number one, it requires an amount. See what the amount is very soon.
What's he listing now?
It's not the arava that we have in the lulav. We know already the lulav arava. That has to be three tzvachim. It's not this that arava. We're having now the arava that we're describing, this special din of arava that we had as a mikdash shalach moshe Sinai, the gvulim yisod neviim. It had to have a certain amount. We'll see what it was. Sarach Shir. You took it by itself. It wasn't held with anything else together. It was by itself. You held it. You couldn't use the Arava Shabalulav as your Arava. That's the statement. That's the din of a Rabbi Ami. So the Gemara now wants to know. Since Master Rabbi Ami said, you can only take it by itself. So of course then, you couldn't use one belulav, that's not by itself. So if you said you take it by itself, why must you also tell me that you don't take the one in the lulav? It's not by itself. So why tell me both of them? It seems to be superfluous. It seems to be repetition, right? Again, it has to have a shear. You take it by itself, don't take the one. You can't use the rubber in the lulav. Well, again, if it has to be by itself, then of course you don't take the rubber in the lulav. It's with the lulav. So the marshal here. Maybe you would say, when do we say you take it by itself? That would be that you, if you did, you can't pick it up. Sorry, where you picked it up.
You didn't pick it up yet. You didn't pick up the
lulav. You didn't pick it up yet, and then you pick it up a second time. You pick it up. Aval. But if you picked it up a second time, look at Rashi over here. He's over here. He says, "Hecha da agba l'shem nitzias lulav, v'ad ragba l'shem arava emalepik la the ika hochachatuba." Why again? The Rashi quoted above. I should have read the Rashi earlier on. Why must you take it by itself originally? Why must you not have anything else in your hand? You want to show everyone, this is the Arava time. So if I would pick up the whole lulav and esrog set the first time, for the same lulav, put it back down, pick it up another time, I'm showing everyone something unique is happening right now, the same Arava. The reason why we said Arava has to be by itself originally was because we had to make it noticeable. But by picking it up, putting it down, picking it up again is pretty noticeable. Maybe you'll tell me that should be okay. So Kamash Milan tells you, you can't use that Arava in the lulav set. You got to do it by itself. The Havmina would have been, the whole purpose was to make it noticeable by picking up, putting that thing up again, is pretty noticeable. So come teach you that even that's not okay. No, that's true. It didn't happen because we had a question back then. Our question back then was, maybe that's what they were doing. We said they weren't doing that in the end. But the question was, what if they would do that? Would that work? So we possibly said it wouldn't work anyways, but that would be the Havmina that maybe it should have worked.
Could you pick up the Arava, show everyone,
make it take it out of the lulav at the time and pick up, put it on again. Mistama. Something over here, the problem would have been to pick up the entire set. But I assume if I would detach, again, the whole thing because you're going to pull out the egg. But assuming that you can untie, figure everything out, you can do it twice, you pick it up again, your stomach, that should be okay. Yeah.
Now that I think about it, it seems like if you pick up the whole bundle a second time,
yeah.
Somebody who doesn't know anything was watching you. How do they know maybe you picked it up a second time because there's a special mitzvah of just the lulav itself? Or maybe there's a special mitzvah of just waving the esrog itself. Or the hadassim, like lavda after the aravos. You're picking up four things. Who's to know like which one?
It's like your son's question. It's the Maris Ayan question like you had before. That type of question. Remember you had a question beforehand? Who knows what's going on around you? No one really knows. It's a good question was asking. I'll ask another question I'll ask you. What about the idea that lakicha al deyder v'acher is a shmei lakicha or not? Would it even be considered lakicha? I'm not holding the Rava, but instead I'm holding the whatever is in my hands. I'm holding the lulav, am I even holding the Rava? But let's say your question over here is, who knows what I'm even doing? So, we think it is. Depends on what's there. Right, we do say. Well, depends on...
Kavod, not kavod.
Right, if it's in the kavod. Ein davar acher negad ima demuchach she'im mitzvah. I wonder over here, and this is what Shimon was asking, what is the din? What's the din? Who has to know? Is it a hokacha for everyone else to see it? A hokacha for my sake? What's the hokacha? It doesn't really say. It says you have to have a hokacha, the mukach chi, the mitzvah. Mukach for who? Mukach for me? Mukach for people watching me? If it's people watching me, then you're right. How do we know this is for that? We don't know what this is for. Mukach for me, and I'm doing this for this reason, then I guess it would be hokacha because it's only been done for me. I don't know. It's a good question. Okay. Rav Chizda, Am Rav Yitzhak, says, Adam Yoti Nechavatsu Baruch Lulav, you're actually allowed to do this double pickup. He argues and he holds that if you do a second pickup, that actually would be okay because it's doing it l'shem Maisa Arava, Mitzah Arava, and that is okay. Now, going to this question we said earlier on, the Kama Shura, what would be the amount of this? Again, the Arava originally in the time of the Lulav itself, we knew already had to be 3 Tvachim. And we discussed how many leases to be on it, as we covering most of it. But what's this Arava? This unique one, what's the din of the Kama Shura? What's the amount of this Arava? From Rav Nachman, Gimel Badi Alin Lachen. We must have 3 Badim, 3 separate branches, with moist leaves in those branches as well. Doesn't say the amount that you need, but you have to have gimel badim. Does Rashi say over here actually? Yeah, he says b'chol echad al nachem. You have to have 3 badim, and each one has to have al nachem, moist leaves. There's no real amount given, but
when
Gemara
asked, when Gemara had to treat a shear, the number and not the length.
Well, it sounds like the number and the quality sounds like. Meaning, could I have? We'll see 1 minute. You'll see 1 minute it's going to ask this question. Rav Sheshit Amar Afilu Allah Echad Ubar Echad. Rav Sheshit says here, you can even have 1 leaf and 1 stem. Where's the Allah Echad Ubar Echad? You think you can have a leaf and a separately and a stem separately? Like a stem with no leaves and a single leaf detached from the stem? Now, the Gemara is going to reject that right now, but why do you think it's rejecting that? The Rashi has a very interesting shot. Why is it rejecting that? Look what Rashi says over here. What does it remind you of? Allah mashma below bad, uba below Allah. Umayla kicha b'Allah below bad. Halo minkar. What does it remind you of? The peppercorn, right? The question, the reason why we say reject is because if I can't see it, I'm holding a leaf in my hand. No one can see I'm holding a leaf in my hand. I'm holding a single a single stem with no leaves, and I'm holding a leaf besides that stem, separate from the stem, no one can see I'm doing that. It doesn't seem to be effective. So I guess they're back to the point of here, they're talking about how many stems, and the assumption is they're going to have leaves on them also. How many leaves do you need? The Gemara is going to say, not so many, we'll see. So the Gemara says here, what does it mean? Ela'ema afilu ala echad bebad echad. Even a single leaf on a single stem would be sufficient for this mitzvah of Arava. Okay. Amar Aibo was one of the, he was the father of Rav, one of the Merayim. So he says the following. Have a kamina ka'imna kamed Rabbi Lazar Bar Tzadok. I was standing in front of Lazar Bar Tzadok. V'aisya u'gavra Arava kameh. And this man brought an Arava in front of Rabbi Lazar Bar Tzadok. Shakil chavit v'lo barich. He took it. Now chavit says, according to Rashi here, says he was not nua. He shook it. And he did not make a brach on it. What does that show us? Kasavar minag neviim hu. It shows you they didn't hold the yisod neviim. He held it was a minag neviim. Yeah.
We quoted out two times that chavit doesn't mean whacking, but right. It really means
handling, taking, shaking.
Is it possible that what we do out there?
The whacking is not based.
Yeah, that it's a mistake.
If you look in the commentaries about what to do, some say before you shake it. What do some say? Some say before you take it, you should shake it.
Oh.
You should shake it. Some people, I don't know if you do know, but some people shake the rabbit before they bang it. So again, where did the bang come from? You don't see that at all? Look, if you look in your sit, I'm pretty sure it will bring down the custom of some is to shake it before they actually bang it. Minel Europa? Yeah? I don't know. Ashkenazim? Not sure. But I don't know where the bang came from. It sounds like it's more of a Kabbalistic thing. I don't know if it came from the Gemara or not. I don't know. I can't imagine it was like this mistake that keeps on going on. Someone should catch that mistake when they learn Masechta Sukkah. Where's Rabbi Newman? He should catch that mistake when they learn Masechta Sukkah so many times. He called me after I told him. Anyways, Kasafer Minig Nevimu. Aibo v'chizkia b'nei Barte d'Rav. So Aibo and Chizkia, who were the grandchildren, b'nei Barte d'Rav. Aisu Arava Lekamei Derav. They brought Arava in front of Rav, and once again, Chavu Chavu V'lo Baruch. He shook them. He did not make a brach of them. Kasavar Minag Neviim. Who again? We have more sources that it's a Minag Neviim. Yeah, we had a Machlokas. Is it Yisod Neviim, Rabbi Yochanan, Minag Neviim, Shimon Levi? And it seems to be the consensus that we have right now. It sounds like at least it's a Minag Neviim. We don't make the bracha on it, right? I mean, we don't. Anyway, the whole thing is not the typical. We don't do Arava 7 days. Anyways, we just do 1 day the Zecher, I guess. But over here, the Gemara seems to be giving a lot of support that it really is a Minag Neviim. Amar Aivo. Now, Aivo again comes along, and once he's in the story over here, he's going to come along and tell you another story. And this will be the story I guess we'll almost end with. And we'll get to the bottom in a minute. Amar Aivo, Hava Kimna Kameh Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok. Again, he was standing in front of Elazar Bar Tzadok. Asa Kamehahu Gavra. A man came in front of him. Amar Aleh, he said to him the following line. Kriyasa Isli, Kramaya Isli, Zesaya Isli. Yeah.
Where? I've lost my place.
Smack in the middle of the page. The first word in the line is the word minhag. Approximately 19 lines down from the top.
19 from the top?
Approximately.
The first word in the line?
Minhag.
How do you know it's 19? It was 19 exactly.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm guessing 19 today a lot. I got it wrong last time.
Yeah,
so
it was 19.
19. I had a bad guess last time. I guess like 15 or 14 and it was like 19. Okay, anyways. Amar Aibo. Aibo says, "Have a ke'imna kamed Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok." I was standing in front of Rabbi Tzadok. Also, kamed Ugavra, a man came in front of him and said to him the following line: "Amar Lei Kiryas Isli, I have cities. Kirmaya Isli, I have vineyards. Isai Isli, I have olives. Vazu b'nei Kiryas, and my villagers and my cities come umekashkashin b'kirmaya, and they do some sort of a hoeing action of a digging action in my vineyard. V'ochlim b'zaysai, and then they eat my." Olives afterwards. And Rashi was out here, it's ke'ilu a payment. It's like a compensation. They're doing work for me, and they're eating for my fuel as a compensation. I don't pay them anything besides that. Arich or lo arich? Is that okay? Or is that not okay? Meaning, can I do that? Now, what's the problem over here? It's Shvius. During Shemitah, how can you use your Shemitah fruits as schora, as merchandise? That's the big question over here. So he says, is it okay? Is it not okay? So Amar Lei lo arich, it's not okay, says Lazar Rabbi Tzadok. So this person who asked the Shiloh got up and he went his way. And as he went his way, Amar Lazar Bar Tzadok says to the people around him the following thing. Kodu Havesi Dari Ba'ara Hadam Mem Shnin. Kadosh was the word kvar. I've already been living, diary, bar hadar, in this land, 40 years. Luchamisi bar inish mehalech ba'orchan de tiknon kidein. And I have not, chamisi, I have not seen a person, bar inish, that's mehalech ba'orchan, has been going in a derech that's so tiknon, that's so fixed and so appropriate, kidein, like this man. This man is exceptional. The way he listened and didn't, you know, kind of hem and haw and ask for another chat shows his tremendous emunas chachamim kol kavodim. Hadar v'asi, he came back later on. He went back and he came back. V'amar le maima avin, he said to him, "Nu, what'd you do in the end? How'd you take care of this problem of the villagers eating your fruits as compensation?" So Malay, he said back to him, "Efkar zeisaya lechashuchya. I was mafkir my olives to the poor. V'tein fritaya lekashkushe kramim, and I end up giving money. I gave pritaya to those who were helping out with my vineyards, who were plowing my vineyards." So Gemara said, one second. By the way, let's just pause for a second. Kishkushai miyashari. Who says you're allowed to do any sort of avoda in the krum on the Shemitah year? We learned in a brisa. Vashriyas tishma tenav nitashta. And we learned that part, which means shriyas, you should let everything be fallow, let it go. What does it mean? Tishma tena mila kashkesh. Nitashta mila sakel. You should stop from the plowings of it or the fixings of it, and you should leave it alone from the misakel, from removing the stones that are on the field that also are affecting the actual ground. So how can he let in the first place do this stuff on the field? So I'm Rav Ukva Barchama Trey Kishkushe Havu. There's two types of kishkushe, types of working the field. Chad Stume Pile. One of them is closing up the cracks, according to Rashi. There were the cracks in the roots would cause them to dry out and to die. That you're allowed. You don't have to let your crops die. You're allowed to work your field in that you can protect it. You can't help it. You are better, but you can stop it from getting damaged. And therefore, one thing we're talking about here was tumi pili, was covering the cracks up. V'chad avruye ilani. And what was what Rashi thinks over here was to poke holes in the dirt by the roots to move it around to make it softer to allow it to get better to get more. A greater growth. Avruy Iloni, Asr, that's not allowed. That's what the Gemara meant when it said that would be, you had to teach Matena, Mila Kashkesh. You can't do the Avruy Iloni. You can't create this air going through to help to better the trees, to make them more lush and more growth oriented. But Sumi Pili, Shari, but you're allowed to close up the cracks to avoid any big damage afterwards. We'll stop over here. And